Alright, so I'm just going to start with the verse here in Psalm 42, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, my soul, and art disquieted in me? Hope in God. This one little section in the Psalms, I think, for me anyways, it really speaks to me how many times I find myself cast down and disquieted, it says here, in my soul. Hope in God, he says here, right, David speaking. And just, I was thinking about hope and in the world around how so many of men's hopes are being taken away and they're falling apart, and there's an increased hopelessness in the world, more than we knew just a few years ago. But I also wanted to make a distinction between the believer's hope and just the common hope that people talk of in the world. The dictionary says of hope, it's a feeling or expectation, a desire or a desire for a certain thing to happen. Someone may hope that they win the lottery. I mean, a large majority of the population buys lottery tickets continually, despite not being able to, struggling each week financially, but they have even the tiniest hope. They see a better future for themselves with this lottery ticket winning. Or some people hope that the Canucks will win the Stanley Cup in their lifetime, even how small of a chance that might be. Or some people, you may have someone pursue a very abusive relationship because they see a future, no matter how unlikely, that they desire. But I think in Proverbs 10:28, we see a bit of a distinction in the hopes here. It says, Proverbs 10, verse 28, the hope of the righteous is joy, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. And, yeah, the expectation here of the wicked shall perish. No matter what hope we have in this world, even a good hope, eventually it all will perish. Someone who even, many people who win the lottery, they got their hope, and they end up poorer than they were before. All these things that we hope for in this world will perish. But the hope of the righteous is joy. I think a good example of this, in Romans 18, which speaks of Abraham here. Romans 4, verse 18, it says, Abraham, who against hope believed in hope to his becoming father of many nations, according to which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body already become dead, being about 100 years old, and the deadening of Sarah's womb, and hesitated not at the promise of God through unbelief, but found strength in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he has promised, he is able to do. Here at the beginning it says, he hoped, he believed, Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. I think that's a good distinction of the hopes. And all, and from an earthly point of view, there was no hope at that point. Neither Abraham nor Sarah, they were beyond a reasonable doubt of hope that they could ever produce a child. But he believed, he hoped against hope, and his hope was, it all depended on what his hope was in. He wasn't looking around at his circumstances. If we're looking around in the world, there's a lot of things that are not going to give us hope, and things to discourage us. But if we look, and Abraham had experienced God, and he had proved his word, and he had hope beyond an earthly hope, and his hope was in God. He had, I think, hope and faith are very similar. I think, what is a biblical hope? Hope is really faith, but faith is a more broad term. Faith, we have faith in what God has done, what God is doing, and what God is going to do. And I think what a Christian's hope is, it's faith in the future. And having faith that because of what he has done, what he's going to do in the future and what he will see through. So I would like to look at another section in Romans, Romans 15:4. It says, Romans 15:4. For as many things as have been written that before have been written for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. All the whole Bible here given is given to us that we might have hope. And so many times I find myself, I can get so caught up with everything that's going around me that I lose hope. And this is so important as a Christian that we have hope. But it's, are we getting encouragement for scriptures? Are we getting instruction through endurance? I think right now we're being tested through endurance. Are we going to have endurance to see that God, like Abraham, proved that he's going to see him through? And just, I love how it's here, through encouragement of the scriptures. The scriptures has to be an encouragement to us. When we read the scriptures, if we're going to have hope that can survive through everything that's going on. So it says also later in this chapter, in verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace in believing, so that you should abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, the God of hope. Paul is talking about a God who gives hope, and he's almost praying that God would give the Romans here hope, in the believers here in Romans, hope. And what does it produce? Well, it's the faith with joy and peace in believing. And through that, so that you should abound in hope. So this hope of our heart would produce joy and peace in believing. We're having faith in God and proving him. And it produces more hope. So it's almost like an upward spiral of hope that we can really lay hold of. And I find for myself this is so necessary through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, another section in Peter I'd like to look at. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. This is really the foundation of our hope. What is our hope in? 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from among the dead. This is the massive difference between how the men in the world hope and how we hope. Our hope is a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He didn't just remain in the grave, but he is living today, and we have a living hope. And the more we spend in his word, and the more we prove God, and the greater our hearts are expanded in knowing the Lord Jesus, we will have this hope. And what is the fruit of this? If we read on, it is to an incorruptible and undefiled, unfading inheritance reserved in the heavens for you. What an amazing thing that we can have. Are we laying hold of this? This incorruptible. So many things. Well, this whole world is corruptible, and it all fade. But we can have incorruptible, undefiled, unfading inheritance reserved in the heavens for you, who are kept guarded by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye exult for a little while at present, if needed, put to grief by various trials, that the proving of your faith, much more precious than of gold, which perishes through and precious, though it be proved by fire, be found to praise and glory and honor and revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, on whom though not now looking, but believing, ye exult with joy unspeakable and filled with glory, receiving to the end of your faith the salvation of your souls. This just an incredible section which should really give us all hope, I believe. And it mentions here, put to grief by various trials. All these trials that we're facing should be proving, are an opportunity for us to really prove the Lord at this time. Are we hoping, is our hope that all everything is going to go back to normal, because all these things we hope in may never come to pass, and we will be definitely discouraged and disappointed. But if our hope is in the Lord Jesus, the living hope, none of that can ever be taken away.
Amen.
So if we turn to back to Romans chapter 5, again, speaking of this, chapter 5, verse 3. And not only that, but we also boast in tribulation, knowing that tribulation works endurance, and endurance experience, and experience hope. I think this is a key thing for us right now. Are we boasting in tribulation? Are we able to say that it works endurance and experience, which works hope? If we want to be in the good of this hope, we have to be able to prove these verses here. Otherwise, we'll throw up our arms in despair. And then, lastly, I'd like to speak, if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus, what hope is there for you? Well, I'm just going to keep reading here in Romans chapter 5. And the hope does not make ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us, for we being still without strength, in due time Christ has died for the ungodly. For scarcely for just man will one die, for perhaps a good man some might also dare to die. But God commends his love to us, in that we being still sinners, Christ has died for us. Much rather, therefore, having been now justified in the power of his blood, we shall be saved by him from wrath. For if being enemies, we have been reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much rather, having been reconciled, we shall be saved in the power of his life. And not only that, but we are making our boast in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the reconciliation. For this cause, even as by one man sin entered into the world, and by sin death, and thus death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not put to account when there is no law. But death reigned from Adam until Moses, even upon those who had not sinned, in the likeness of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him to come. But shall not the act of the favor be as the offense? For if by the offense of one the many have died, much rather has the grace of God and the free gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, and abounded unto the many, and shall not be as by one that has sinned be the gift? For the judgment was of one to condemnation, but the action of favor of many offenses upon justification. For if by the offense of one death reigned, by one much rather shall those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life by the one Jesus Christ. So then, as it was by offense towards all men to condemnation, so by one righteousness towards all men for justification of life. For as indeed by the disobedience of one man the many have been constituted sinners, so also by the obedience of one many will be constituted righteous. But law came in order that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace has overabounded. In order that even as sin has reigned in the power of death, so also grace might reign through righteousness and eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, as believers, we have this hope. And the world desperately needs hope right now. And if you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, there is hope. By one man, sin came into the world, and we're all under the sin. But I love what it says here. But where sin abounded, grace has overabounded. Mm-hmm. Lord Jesus, no matter how great Adam's sin and his fall was, what the Lord Jesus did in the cross and him raising from the dead was so much greater. And no matter how great you think your sin is, the grace of God has overabounded, and it is a gift for all. So, I would just like to encourage each one here that we have this great hope, and we just need to be reminded of the promises of God. Daily, we need to remind ourselves, because we so easily, like David mentioned in the Psalms, how easily we go into despair in our soul. But also just how we have this hope, and we need to be bold in sharing it with others. So I just pray for blessing on the word, for his name's sake.
Amen.